Well, good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville this morning. Kaylee, thank you. You did an excellent job. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. I'd like to welcome you in the powerful name of Jesus. The day is almost here when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ. There is so much anticipation in the air. This morning, praise God for sending His Son Jesus to the earth. Praise God for giving us hope for eternity. Praise God for delivering us through a baby. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to the earth in human form as the way that we can be saved from our sin. Your plan is perfect in every way. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for honoring your Father and following His will. We come before you with great anticipation for the celebration of Jesus' birth. Amen. I invite the worship team forward.
Okay, we're here, like Tony said, to celebrate his birth, but we'd like to sing first kind of the whole story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story of his precious, sweetest heaven. This morning's offering is for the long-range capital needs of the church here. Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to come here to worship you this morning. And in this Christmas season, as we remember your son, Jesus, who came and was born and lived here on earth, just pray that we also remember his purpose here, the life that he lived and the death on his cross and resurrection. And I pray that we won't forget about him also as we leave this Christmas season, that we will continue to remember that throughout the whole year. And I pray now that you will just bless this offering for our church needs, for keeping up the church that we come and meet together. Just bless this money that can be used, that can continue the work that's being done here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our next song is Glory Be to God, and I would like to just share a few scriptures about why we would sing this song to begin with. In Revelations 4, there are four living creatures around the throne constantly giving glory to God. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." Revelations 1:5 says, "To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood." Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" And Psalms 95:6-7, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." So in our song, Glory Be to God, that phrase is repeated again and again. So I pray that as we're repeating that phrase, we would not just do it mundanely, but think about why it is so so precious to be able to give glory to him and what he has done for us.
Lord, in honor, and they were told.
traditional song or not, but you certainly may join us if you know Mary, Did You Know? Father, we just thank you for what you've done for us, and just we now pray that you would bless Anthony with the message that you have given. In Jesus' name we pray.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading from Luke 1, 39 to 55. At that time, Mary got up, ready, and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their own inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.
Well, it's time for our children's story. I invite all the children to come forward, or anyone who is child at heart may come forward. And you guys sitting there, you don't count. You actually have to get up and move to the front bench if you... I'd like to thank Teresa for reading our verses this morning and Ella for helping out to light the candles since none of my children wanted to do it. And I wasn't going to give Cullen a blowtorch. So what are we going to celebrate in a few days?
Christmas.
What is Christmas? It's a holiday, yes, but what else? Yes, Jesus' birthday. That's what we're celebrating. So, I want you to think for a minute what your favorite Christmas present you ever received was, and while you're thinking, I'm going to talk a little bit. See, as a kid, my favorite gift that I had received, or at least one of them, was a metal backhoe. The bucket on the back, it moved. You could dig dirt with it. The outriggers came down. The front bucket went up and down. You could fill the dump truck with dirt. I spent hours and hours playing with that thing. See, as a kid, when we would drive past a place, an old barn, or maybe behind a shed, there'd be this little bit of yellow sticking out. There's a backhoe. My parents would be like, where? I don't see it. Oh, it's over there. So I was very good at picking them out from a long way off, even though there was this little blob of yellow sticking out. So my parents had this great idea. Let's get them a little backhoe. I played with that thing till it fell apart. It was a great present. So, now that you had a minute or two to think, what were some of your favorite presents that you received at Christmas? Your truck with what was on it?
A plow.
A plow. A truck with a plow on it. A dump truck.
Yep.
Ah, that sounds like fun.
Really fun. It's still
American Girl doll. Yes. Rachel, is that kind of your same thing? Maybe.
A toy snake.
A toy snake. Do you scare your mom with that? No, you're smart enough not to do that. See, God knows what we like and what we need. He knew we needed a Savior. He sent us Jesus. See, God knows everything about us. And He cares for us. Just like our parents, they know what kind of presents we like, and they know that we need food and clothing. Well, God knows a lot more than that. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Which of you, this is kind of funny that I picked these verses out and his toy, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What he's saying is that parents know how to give good gifts, but God knows how to give great gifts. He knows everything that we need, and he knows what we want as well. But God gave us the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus. It's better than any gift that a person could give. See, I could give you a gift, and it could be your favorite present. But God gave you something that was better. Jesus. That little baby that was born so many years ago would save us all. All you have to do is invite Jesus into your heart. Everybody wants to open this. There's sailboat fuel in here. Air. But everybody can't take their eyes off of this present. It's not really worth anything. But the gift that God gave us, Jesus, is worth everything. So if there's anyone here who hasn't accepted Jesus into their heart and would like to this morning, raise your hand, whether you're a child or an adult. Just put your hand up. As we celebrate Jesus' birthday, focus on the gift that was given to each one of us, and that is Jesus. And that is why we celebrate Christmas, because of Jesus. So you guys have been good listeners. You may have two pieces of snack out of the bag. And here's the thing. You may have one, but you got to give the one to someone else. And now you can't give one to your brother or sister and trade back and forth between each other. I know how that works. You got to give one to someone else. Someone else you care about, someone else you love. Teresa and I would like to thank you for the cards and gifts, your words of encouragement that you have blessed us with. We appreciate them very much. We've been blessed very much. Thank you. Merry Christmas to everyone here. The day we have been waiting for is almost here. The planning and the prepping for this day of celebration is almost done. If you still have some gifts to buy, you're cutting a little close. I've done it before. It's quite busy. This is how we feel as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus once a year. In our verses in Luke 1, 39 to 55 that Teresa read for us this morning, Mary is pregnant with Jesus, and the Jews, they've been waiting for the prophesied Messiah for almost 500 years. Going to read Daniel 9, 24 to 26. Seventy sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. No one understand this from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. There will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench. But in times of trouble, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. They knew and heard these prophecies about the coming Messiah. They were waiting for their earthly king, someone to come and liberate them politically. Micah 5, 2 to 5a. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, through you are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from long ago. from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will secure and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the end of the earth, and he will be their peace. Here we get another glimpse of what the people are waiting for. Peace from an impressive nation. Their king is coming. The king will bring them independence. But God is going beyond anything they can imagine and blessing them and us. God is giving them and us a king. A king that will reign forever. God is foretelling how Jesus was coming to this earth as a baby. He will save us if we all accept him into our hearts. This shows a little of their expectation that Israel had. So now back to Luke 1. Mary is carrying the Messiah. God is blessing the entire nation of Israel and the rest of the world through Mary. Mary went to visit Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John. We will know him later as John the Baptist. As Mary greets her cousin, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. So I'm going to reread Luke 1, 41 to 45. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So why does God do this? Why are these verses here? What is the point of this section? See, our title today is Blessing and Restoration. They go together in a big cycle. It goes around and around and around. You're being restored and you're being blessed as you're being restored. It just keeps going around. God was blessing Mary by giving her encouragement through Elizabeth. Elizabeth being blessed and encouraged by having God's encouraged by God having her baby leap at the sound of Mary's voice. And when the Holy Spirit came upon her and filled her, she knew that God was blessing the nation of Israel and bringing his promised Messiah. Elizabeth knew God was going to restore everything to the way that it was and the way that it should be. God was also blessing Mary, who was in a difficult situation. He's giving her reassurance of his plan, telling her over and over again that this is my plan and that you are carrying the Messiah. God is blessing all of mankind by bringing restoration to everyone who would accept it. The people of Israel could only see restoration for their nation, but God had a bigger plan. He wanted to restore the whole world and everyone in it. As the years tick away that Daniel prophesied about in chapter 9, God was at work bringing restoration and blessing. God is restoring a right relationship between himself and the people of the earth. That includes us here this morning. So why would God do that? He doesn't need us to worship him. We can't do anything without him. It's because he loves us. He loves each and every one of us more than we can ever imagine or understand. And he wants to bless us. He loves us so much that he planned, that we know of, back in the beginning of Genesis, that Jesus is coming. God wants to bless us by bringing us into a relationship with him. So restoration. How many of you have restored something? Whether it's an old car, a piece of furniture, anything. Yeah, there's quite a few hands. So what are you doing when you restore it? You're bringing it back to new quality, or sometimes even better than new quality. Israel was waiting for their land to be restored again. They wanted to worship God in their own land. They wanted the Roman rule to be gone so they could govern themselves. God wanted to do so much more than just that. This restoration that God had planned was for the whole world. To restore our hearts and our souls, to return to a loving and a devoted service of God. God is working in us to bring us back to new condition or better. He's working in our hearts and minds, changing us to be more like Jesus. So when we start this process of restoration, we start like Jesus did as a baby. As we grow spiritually, we grow like Jesus did, from a baby to an adult. This is a process. It takes time. Step by step. When you restore a piece of furniture or a car, it just doesn't happen all at once. It's step by step. There's a process. Jesus gave us the perfect template to follow. Jesus was perfect. He lived without any sin. God is also showing us that Jesus lived as we do. He came down to us, down to our level. He knows the pain that we feel. He was tempted like we are. He stood up to temptation and didn't fail. Jesus also came to bring restoration to our souls, bring us to a right relationship with God. Because of sin, we're destined for eternity in hell. God started restoration when he sent Jesus to the earth as a baby. He finished it on the cross and in the empty tomb. Hebrews 10:5-10. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offering and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here am I. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." He said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Paul's writing about Jesus' sacrifice in chapter 10. He started by saying that if the sacrifices that were made yearly could have and would have made us perfect, if those sacrifices could draw us closer to God, wouldn't they have kept offering them? It says that God is not pleased with burnt offerings and sin offerings. The reason is he is sending Jesus to fulfill the will of God. Giving us a way to be saved. In verses 5 to 10, Paul is quoting Psalms about Jesus. Jesus freely offers himself, saying, "Here am I." He's freely offering himself up. Next, he states that he is here to do the will of God. He is setting his will aside to do the will of his Father. That will is to come to this earth as a baby, to save it and us. To be saved, we need to accept Jesus as our Savior. That's the only way. As Christmas approaches in a few days, spend some time focused on Jesus and the willingness he had to serve his Father. Offering himself as the sacrifice to free us from sin's death grip. Focus on God and the love that he has for us. He gave us his Son to bring a wretched sinner into adoption as a son or daughter. That is the real meaning of Christmas. Spend time focused on how you can serve God. Serve God and offer yourself to him. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you for sending your Son to this earth 2,000 years ago so we could have hope. Hope that we can enter your kingdom as sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus, for being a willing sacrifice for me. Help us to see you in a new way this Christmas season. Help us to focus on you daily, even with our busy schedules. Help us to do your will. Amen. So we're going to do the next part a little backwards. I'd invite you to stand for the benediction, and then the worship team will lead us in song as Teresa and I walk out the back to greet everyone this morning. So will you please stand? I do have an announcement. There are leftover donuts in the basement. Please take some. Unless your name is Cullen, Hannah, or Rachel, then you can't have any. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and as God and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed and merry Christmas. After the song, you're dismissed.